stay in that spiritual posture of receiving what he has for us. I said a few minutes ago that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What we feel right now is a reward for diligently seeking him. It is a product of our pursuit of him. I'm so grateful for the presence of God. I'm so grateful for his direction, and I'm grateful for his voice. We use that phrase, the voice of God. It's referenced in Scripture. It can be a little peculiar the first time you begin to hear somebody using that phrase. What exactly does the voice of God sound like? But the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we understand that to hear the voice of God is to perceive him spiritually. So this is going to be a spiritual thing. And it said, in spirit and in truth. And by truth, that means the Word of God. That means his teachings. Means the gospel. And so, by learning his Word and reading his Word and spending time in the Word of God, and then by spending time in the Spirit and building up that side of us, that stirring up that gift that he gave us in the Holy Ghost, that is how we begin to prepare ourselves to hear and understand and listen to the voice of God. So, there's a few verses I'm going to share with you on that tonight. This is what the Lord put into my spirit, really, just today. And I believe I am amplified on this part. So this is in John chapter 10. And it says, and this is Jesus that's speaking a parable. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, elsewhere, or from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings or leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never on any count follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. Back into 3. The watchman opens the door for this man, which means the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings them out. So the voice of God in this parable, it's likened unto the voice of a shepherd leading his sheep. If you notice in that first part there, the watchman opened the door, the sheep listened to his voice and heed it. A couple things. They recognized the shepherd by the voice. It wasn't just that he was inside the sheepfold. It wasn't just that the porter had recognized him. It wasn't just that somebody had unlocked the door and let him in. Those were important steps. But the sheep were listening to his voice. And that's, I think, the first thing that we learn in here, is that the sheep were listening. They weren't watching. They weren't just randomly following. They weren't just running around. They were listening. They were actively listening for the voice of the shepherd. I'll be honest and tell you, I'm not always listening for the voice of God. I think that the place where I need to mature towards is the place where I am always listening to the voice of God. Where I seek that voice first, even when other things seem to just be enough to confirm what's happening. I mean, the shepherd's inside the sheepfold, the guy that we know that always opens the gate, opened the gate, so this must be cool, so why do I even need to listen? We must always listen for the voice of the shepherd. And then the second part of it, that the sheep listen to his voice and they heed it. There's an obedience that's there. The sheep are expecting not only to listen, but to respond, and to respond in obedience, to do what the shepherd tells them to do. That also is a level that I probably need to work towards. Do I come to the Lord telling him what I want, or do I listen for the voice of God so that he can tell me what he wants from me? There's a difference there, right? A difference in our posture. And it says then, speaking again of the shepherd, and he calls his own sheep by name and then brings and leads them out. Calling by name, I think, is also very important because it means that, of course, names are personal, names are specific. So the voice of the shepherd is speaking specifically to individual sheep. He knew the sheep, he knew what they needed to hear, and he was speaking to them with precision and directness. And he was using that to lead them out. And going on into verse 4, I didn't even realize this now, that there apparently was this place where the sheep were within the sheepfold, an enclosure where they were safe. Okay, this is pretty incredible. We got to go back. So there's this area where the sheep are, they're safe, they're in this enclosure. He's going in, he's talking to them, they're learning to recognize his voice, they're heeding it, they are receiving the specific direction from him in that place of safety, in that place of containment, if you will. And then he leads them out from that. So there's a progression here. After they've learned those basics, after they've mastered those fundamentals of heeding the shepherd's voice, then his whole purpose of doing that was so that he could lead them out. And here it is, he's bringing them out. And as he does, he walks before them, and the sheep are following him because they know his voice. It's not what they see, it's his voice. So what they learned in verse 3, wherever they were in there, they are applying that here in verse 4 as they continue. And then in verse 5, it says they'll never on any account follow a stranger, but will run away from him. because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. The mere fact that this was a potential, they do not know the voice of strangers, they don't recognize their call. The fact that he even mentioned this in here, I think is strong evidence that somebody else was trying to call the sheep. Why else give them the warning? Why else steer them clear of this? Why else teach them about the perils of this? Somebody else was going to be calling the sheep. Somebody else was going to be trying to direct the sheep elsewhere. But the sheep had learned to recognize the shepherd's voice. The sheep had learned not only to follow the voice of the shepherd, but to actively run away from the stranger. I don't always run away from other voices. And I mean that more spiritually than anything. I think maybe sometimes I entertain them for too long. I think sometimes I think I can handle it. I think sometimes I think I've got this. I've got this under control. And the difficulty with that is that even if I'm not led astray, there's always the hazard that the shepherd has to come back because I'm lagging behind and bring me on forward again. I'm creating a dangerous situation for myself, but I'm also hindering the shepherd's progress. I'm hindering the progress of the rest of the flock, in fact. There are so many voices, spiritual and otherwise, in the world. We can't always tune them all out. That's the reality. We just can't. At work, we are preparing for one of our two major trade shows of the year. The other one was in February, and it was in San Francisco. But this one that happens, it's actually usually in August, so it feels like, no wonder it's happening, it feels like it's happening earlier than what it should, so it's at the end of this month, is in Las Vegas. And you can imagine the enthusiasm that I have for spending a week in Vegas, a week inside a casino in Vegas. It's taken me, I've done this, will probably be now, I don't know, my third, fourth year doing this, and usually by Friday, first of all, I try and minimize the amount of time I'm actually on the ground, but usually by Friday, the thing that's really just starting to just drive me a little bit crazy is the constant music, the constant noise. It is everywhere. It is absolutely ubiquitous. There is no place of silence. It's always, always there. And this shouldn't really come as a surprise to you, but I'm really sensitive to sound because most of the time I'm ministering back there, not up here, and hearing is something that's super important. So that makes it, of course, even worse. But just because of the nature of that whole city and how much flesh is there, it's a constant effort to just keep that at bay. And there's not really anything to do with it, but just to get through it. So in those kinds of environments, if I can't turn down that noise, what I have to do is make sure that I'm actively pursuing the voice of the shepherd even more to try and amplify that voice in contrast with all the rest of it. The things that surprise us sometimes. I was surprised to find God in Vegas. That sounds ridiculous. But I remember one morning when I was feeling like this was really starting to get to me. It was maybe the first or second year, and I hadn't really grown accustomed to it. And I woke up in the morning, early in the morning, pretty early, probably about, 6 a.m. or so, about the time that a lot of people were either coming home or, very much already asleep or waking up to go to work with the hangover that they had never seen before. And I remember looking out the window at the Las Vegas Strip and at the mountains in the distance. It actually is a gorgeous area if you're really into desert. And the Lord began to speak to me, and I found that I was drawn into prayer there in the morning, looking out across the desert there. And the entire time thinking, you know, kind of simultaneously, I'm surprised to be experiencing this, and why am I surprised? I'm the temple of God. Of course he's here. I just didn't really let that register, I guess. But in those situations, I'm learning, I haven't got this figured out, so just don't get any crazy ideas about that. But it's those times that I need to pursue him even more. Because if you can't turn down, this is my sound engineering thing, there are some times that I can't turn down the sound. We're blessed that we have an enclosure around the drums and we don't have like a guitar amp going on, right? But sometimes you end up in these situations where you've got things that you can't control the volume of on the stage, and so the only thing you can do is turn everything else up because you can't turn those things down. It applies spiritually as well. So we need to be cognizant of those times. Later on in this same chapter, continuing on in this whole theme, and it's really interesting because John 10, if you read the whole thing, if you get a chance, maybe go back and just read all of John 10 and just kind of put all this in context of the lessons that he's teaching. But folks are having a real hard time with whether Jesus was God and how all of that was working out, and they just weren't getting it. And it was in that context that he's like, listen, my sheep would know my voice, meaning y'all should have figured this out by now. You should have recognized me. And this is kind of right in that same context. And so I think I probably should have put verse 24 in here. It's what it was that he was answering them, but I think they were asking, are you the Christ? And Jesus answered them, I have told you so, yet you do not believe me. You do not trust me and rely on me. The very works that I do by the power of my Father and in my Father's name bear witness concerning me. They are my credentials and evidence in support of me. But you do not believe and trust and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, between Jesus and his followers, us, was expected to be based on hearing and listening to his voice. And that was his almost frustration, really, with them. That's how he was able to say that they were not his sheep, because they were not listening. If they had been listening, they might have been able to recognize their Messiah among them, but they were not listening. And because they weren't listening, of course, they couldn't hear, and therefore they were unknown to him, and they were not following him. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. To all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. This is a product of listening. This is a product of following his voice, to be in a place where no one can snatch them out of his hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all else, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I included that last verse there, so again, you can see the whole context here where he's helping them understand that he is God in the flesh. They are, of course, struggling with that, and it's because they are not listening. It's really quite tragic. There's other references, even back in the Old Testament, like here in Psalms in 95, and this was actually referenced from some writing in Hebrews, which I don't think I didn't include that one there, but there's some references to this. By the writer of Hebrews. But it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, in reverent praise and supplication. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah and at Massah in the day of temptation in the wilderness, if you will hear his voice. Because the problem was, and we see this in Jeremiah here, the problem was that they had stopped hearing his voice, they had stopped listening to his voice, and they had hardened their hearts against him, and that brought separation, and it broke the relationship that they had because they were not listening anymore. You can see this unfolding in a very poignant terms in Jeremiah 25. It says, "The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, From the 13th year of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened," meaning you have not listened and responded. "And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear." That last phrase there stands out to me. Inclined your ear to hear. It's when something is a little quiet and you're like, okay, what's that sound? Making an effort to hear, making an effort to understand, making an effort to perceive distinct from all the other noise. They were not doing that. They were not interested in that. And the Lord tried again and again and again to speak to them, but they were not putting themselves in a posture, a spiritual posture, of being able to actually hear that. They had shut themselves off from it, and that brought a really bad situation, of course, to them. Then they said, "Turn ye again," referring to the prophets, they said, "Turn ye again now, every one of you, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet you have not hearkened, you haven't listened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt." If only they had listened, if only they had inclined their ear to hear, then perhaps they would have heard the voice of God and responded in all the prophets and everything that he sent them. And yes, in the Old Testament, he spoke to them through the mouth of prophets. Now he intends to speak to us directly through the gift of the Holy Ghost and also through the ministry that goes forth. He wants us to be able to perceive that really. I don't want to say that we have it easier, but we do have a different kind of dispensation. We have a much more personal relationship with God. The veil has very much been torn. We have access to an incredibly holy place that most of the people in the Old Testament, our heroes of faith, did not have. So really, I don't want to even say, I'm stopping short of saying this should be easier for us, because it will be difficult in other ways, but this is available to us, maybe is the right term to use here. It's more available. There we go. It's more available to us than what it was to them. And the Lord has things that he wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to hear it continually, to give us direction or to give us assurance in the direction he's already given us, to confirm our way, to build up our strength in him. He desires to have that ongoing dialogue and conversation with us, to do really what he did here tonight in responding to us seeking him, and then letting his spirit settle on us in a way that just sets so many things in order and makes it easier to continue listening to him and all that he would say. In Revelation, there's a repeated refrain in the first few chapters as he's explaining the letters to the various churches. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." It's repeated in such a way that It would be easier for us to just sort of zoom right past it. But the Lord brought it back to me in this context, and especially with this particular church that he was writing to in Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. If any man will hear my voice. And there it is again, hearing the voice of God. The idea that he would be so close as to really just be right there on the other side of the door. I wonder how many situations I've gone through in life wondering where he was at, and he was just standing right outside the door, but I wasn't able to hear him, and therefore I was left on the inside without his strength as I'm trying to struggle along on my own. I wonder how many times that's happened. How it must have felt for him when I just wasn't hearing his voice. A voice that would have brought comfort, a voice that would have brought peace, a voice that very clearly here would have brought communion with him, just a nearness. He didn't come in for judgment. He didn't come in for deliverance. He didn't come in for healing. He came in to have dinner. That's astonishing to me. But that's the kind of relationship he wants. That's the tenderness that he has towards us. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, he that is able to hear. Like it was said in that Old Testament verse, inclining our ear, making an effort to hear the voice of God. That should be our pursuit. That is my pursuit now, after what the Lord has shown me here in this, to make a concerted effort to hear his voice. That when I find that other voices are getting a little loud, to try and turn them down. And if that isn't an option, to focus even more on the voice of God. Maybe even, I've done this sometimes, to ask him, Lord, can I get you to speak up just a little bit? It's a little noisy around here spiritually right now. And you know, he will. He absolutely will. This is his calling to the church in this hour, that we would hear what he is saying to us individually and also collectively as a congregation. He has work for us to do. He has, as I said earlier, words of comfort, words of direction, words of peace, that he is always desiring to speak into our hearts. And if we would but just incline our ear to hear those words, we would find strength, we would find encouragement, we would find hope, and we would find what we need to prioritize his kingdom over our own agenda, over our own goals. As he begins to speak into our hearts and to give us a glimpse of the things that he is trying to do, to reveal to us his sincerity and his urgency towards the lost of this city, of this state, and beyond, as he begins to really reveal what his plan is in this last hour and days. And yes, there is Bible for that. He said that he would do that. He would reveal himself to his people. Can we stand here tonight? I appreciate everybody coming here tonight. It's been an incredible, I think, experience in feeling what we felt in prayer. Thank you for responding to the Spirit of God. Thank you to those that helped us here in prayer. Let's go ahead and pray that the Lord would continue to speak to us and that we would maintain this posture as we continue into the week. My God, we are so grateful, God, for your Spirit, for your direction, Father, for your anointing, for your salvation that makes all of this possible. Lord, we eagerly pursue you. We earnestly listen to your voice. God, speak to this, your people, Father, for we will hear. Speak, O God, and we will listen and heed your voice. My God, leyondo severinani et conto savela raye. Oh, my God, we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. We will follow you, Father, wherever you lead us. Another voice we will not follow. We make that commitment to you tonight, O God. Another voice we will not follow, for we will follow you and you alone. Speak to our hearts these days ahead, Father, for we are ready to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Thank you all for coming tonight. Enjoy some fellowship with each other before you leave.